Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
This week I have Carol Bryant. She is the president of the Dog Writers Association of America, and she's dedicated to serving the pet industry from journalistic, pet parent, social media, marketing, public relations, and philanthropic perspectives. I mean, Carol, I don't think you sleep. Welcome so much.
Thank you so much. Oh my gosh, I think I do a lot for dogs.
Well, thank you for all you're doing for them too. We need advocates like you. So I guess I first want to ask you, what got you involved in doing all these wonderful things?
So I was always that little girl who brought home the lost dogs or the injured bird, or I remember my mother saying to me as a kid, enough. It'll never be enough for me. And as an adult, I fiddled around in where I really wanted to land in my career. And it was really when I had to let my first dog go, that in that moment and being in that exam room, that I flipped on a dime and I said, enough. It's time to really dedicate who I really am in my life to serving dogs and the people who love them. And so that's where I am today.
I mean, you make it sound so easy, but I mean, let me just explain to those of you that are tuning in a little bit about where she's been featured in. So she's been on Oprah Radio, Gail King Show. She's been former marketing social media manager for Blog Paws. The list goes on, and especially for blogging, you've been involved in shows and Dog Surf, Paw Culture, Dog Fancy, Fido Friendly, Pet 360, AKC Family Dog, Today.com, Hamptons Pets. I mean, congratulations for doing all those things.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's really about putting yourself out there. And it's really that love of dogs though, that drives me to pitch editors and just tell stories, because that's genuinely what people want. They want to be educated. They want to hear good stories. And they want to know that you understand dogs and the bond that people have with them.
Absolutely. And you know, from a DVM 360 perspective, you know, we take care of and educate a lot of the veterinarians and veterinary support teams. And it's finally been happening where we're working together to educate pet parents together. So that way, we're all the best advocates for those fur babies in that exam room or even outside of the exam room. So how do you feel that's been, and what are your thoughts on that?
About, can you repeat the question just so that I understand?
Oh, yeah. So what are your thoughts on having a greater connection with the pet parents as well as the veterinary industry to better educate them to make decisions?
Oh my gosh. It is having I think the biggest foremost thing is when there's a relationship between the pet parent and that vet walking in that room. I want to know that, yes, you have your education and you're ready to serve my pet. But I feel when you listen to me, when you hear me, when you talk to me like a human being, and even though you've got that lab coat on, and frankly, vets are my heroes. I mean, if I weren't writing, I would be a vet. But breaking down those barriers is so important. I'm a person walking in there, and you're a person serving my dog. So let's talk. Let's have a conversation. Let's feel like I don't have to be nervous around you, that I could ask you a question that I'm afraid if I say it, you're going to think I'm into Dr. Google and not you. Or I just want to feel like I could come in and I'm talking to a friend. And I feel like a big part of the veterinary industry, the pet industry as a whole, has kind of these invisible walls are up. There's a lot of fear out there, I will tell you, from the pet parent perspective. And because that's the world I'm heavily ensconced in. They feel like they can't ask the vet a question, or they're going to be looked at as if it was stupid, or maybe the vet will look down on the person for even bringing it up. So that's part of my mission, and what I want to do is help bridge that gap. And yes, we're all people, but let's have conversations. Let's treat each other like human beings again.
I agree. And, you know, one of the things that I educate veterinarians on too is just making sure you don't judge the pet parent, because not all of us have the means in which we can go for maybe, you know, all the diagnostics, but what are the best things that we can do to kind of, you know, within a budget, for instance. So I think from a veterinary perspective too, we don't want to be, you know, judgy. You do the best, you know, care that you can provide with the pet parent, and just providing, like you said, having a conversation and educating them is so important.
Yeah. In fact, before we got on this call, I was talking with one of my followers, a pet parent, and she had said to me, What are you feeding Dexter and what are you giving him for 4th of July to stay calm? And I said, we should probably have that talk with your vet first. And she said, no, I want to take your ideas to my vet because I have an appointment coming up. So it's that kind of thing. I think people are still a little bit afraid as pet parents to say what they really feel at the vet. And I know you guys must see some of the people that must come in. You probably need to go home and slug back a glass of wine or two, because I know, I definitely know. And then there are the know-it-alls, but I think there's that fine line. And I just feel these invisible walls need to go.
Yeah. I like that you just mentioned that as an example of like, what are some things that you would recommend, or what are you feeding your dogs? Or yeah, I mean, my dog has noise phobia. What should I be asking my veterinarian? And I think that's why I wanted to have this discussion with you today, because I think it's important for pet owners to have some sort of education before they go into the exam room. They kind of want to get the best bang for their buck. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely. And you get that time slot, and your time is valuable as my veterinarian. And so I'm the one that comes in with assorted questions. And I know there are pet parents who go in and have no clue. They're afraid. They don't know what's going on. But yeah, conversation. That's my big takeaway, is have that conversation.
Yes. And you shouldn't be afraid to talk about things. Like, for instance, if we say, what are you feeding your animal? And they're like, oh, don't kill me because I'm feeding like grain free or whatever it is. You know, listen, this is what part of that office visit is, having that education and discussion. So it's not to be judgmental, not to condone, not to yell or whatever. It's just the pet parent's still in the driver's seat. We just want to make sure that we drive them in the right direction.
Yeah, and I always tell my followers, I hate always saying followers like I'm a cult, but the people who enjoy my content, I will tell them, stop kibble shaming. Like, I don't feed kibble, but if you do, like, my answer usually is, what's the best food for my dog? The one that works for your dog. And that's where you should start. Not everybody needs raw. Not everybody can home cook. People are afraid to talk about kibble now, because kibble's become the scourge of the earth. And for some, that's all they can afford, or that's what's working for their dog. It's not that it's bad. And I think that's something where it's got to start with an honest conversation with your vet, though, because for as much information is online, we still need your expertise and your training and your background, and just to dispel some of these crazy myths that are out there.
Right. What are some of the most popular, you've done so much writing and content, what's the high traffic topics that you seem to be to get most popular?
My dog pees for revenge is my number one all-time post, like, of ever. That my dog will look at me, I will have taken him out, and then he pees because I left him for the day, or he pees because I have a new girlfriend, or, you know. And so I wrote a post, your dog does not pee for revenge. I'm telling you, I can't throw that thing into the ground. Of all of the bright content I write and all of the, I wrote this article on a whim, that your dog does not pee for revenge. That's a big one, because as dogs get older, puppies, or, you know, life's changing, COVID times, people are home more. Well, my dog looks at me and he pees because I won't play with him. Dogs aren't people, so no, probably not. But again, it's a conversation with your vet. Another one of my most popular ones is, what should I feed my dog? And seasonal. Mm-hmm. Seasonal content is so hot right now. It's, what are you giving your dog to calm down for the 4th of July? Fireworks, or what do you give your dog? What CBD? Oh my God, there are so many CBD, everything now. CBD, brownies, gummy bears, liquids, you know, everything. And pet parents are confused. And so I was telling you earlier, you know, I literally just got this text and someone said, what are you giving your dog for 4th of July? And I just took a picture of it and sent it to her. And I said, now talk to your vet, because I'm not your vet. But right. Those are some of my most popular things. And it's, again, if you look at that, those are honest things that people just genuinely are, people are sitting down at their computer and they're searching for these things. So why shouldn't I be the one to give them the answer?
Right. Absolutely. What do you think is the driving force behind that? Do you think pet parents are afraid more, you said, or do you think they just want to become more educated from reading your content? Do they want to feel a sense of community with fellow pet parents? Is it all of it?
All of that. And also, I think what used to be, I need to schedule a vet visit to talk to my vet about this in person. Now people sit down at their computer first, either to avoid a vet visit or to have that information so that when they go in, they're getting the most bang for their buck. Because if they're anything like me, you know, you're going in with the notebook and 25 questions, and my vet's used to it now. But information is out there. And I think it's more a matter of yeah, seeing what other pet parents are doing. Some people don't call themselves pet parents and owners. I mean, it's, and it's, again, it's writing to your audience and knowing, there's not a lot of people that I know anymore that say it's just a dog.
Right. Yeah. Tell me about some fun events that you've been involved in.
Yeah. So, let's see, one at Phytos of Reality is my blog. And years ago, my wife and I decided we wanted to do something more than just put content out. So we thought, how can we raise money, have fun, and do something to give back? So we formed what's called Wiggle Butt Warriors, and we're Cocker Spaniel lovers. I love all pets, but Cocker Spaniels own my heart, like you with dachshunds.
Right.
And we decided to have some fundraisers. And so we've had a dog wedding. We did Wiggle Butts Go Hollywood, and we did this old-time Hollywood glam style thing. We've done a winery where we Wiggle Butts Uncorked. We found I don't know if you know about Knoebels Amusement Park, but it is the only pet-friendly amusement park in the country. So we had a Wiggle Butts at an amusement park. We've raised almost $100,000, two women in 4 years. People love to see dogs dressed up. Again, it's just this, I don't know what it is. It's just this thing. And they love to get together and feel like they're not a weirdo, that they could talk. Right. I get together with my friends and we talk poop. They're like, well, what's your dog's consistency today? And how about yours? And my, it's having that conversation. I know it sounds kind of goofy, but it's doing things that probably 15, 20 years ago, they would have put you in a white jacket for. And now it's the norm. And so I think you have to have fun and show a human side. And people love, again, I can't even imagine when we finally get to be out in society again, but people love to gather with their dogs and feel that in-person community too.
I find that people are less likely to show pictures of their kids than they are with their dogs and cats, right? So like, I have two kids, they're in college, one's 15, one's 16, but I have this dachshund, I gotta show you this picture.
Like 2,000 photos of my dog sleeping, but like, really show me. And that's why Instagram is so popular. I think that's a release, not to go down the rabbit hole, but that's a release for people.
Yes.
To sit there, scroll and look at cute puppies and kitties and rabbits and ferrets and, you know, yeah.
Fun fact about Instagram, that's how it started, actually. It was because of the love of animals. So it was the dog was very heavily influenced for Instagram to creating images. So that's how Instagram took over. And then TikTok started happening, of course, too. And now we're TikTok obsessed with the dogs and cats and funny things that we're doing out there. And it's what's getting us through these tough times, you know?
I agree with you. That is, I'll sit there at night and just, again, I call it the rabbit hole, but it's, you know, it's like tiny object syndrome. And you start looking at one puppy and 4 hours later, your spouse is like, are you ever coming to bed? Because it's a thing.
It really is. You know, I guess, I mean, you can even write about this with what we're going through this year and what we can learn from dogs on how, like, they don't care who you love, what color you are. They just know unconditional love, right?
Absolutely. Dogs are so non-judgmental. And like I was telling you when we spoke in the past, I coined the phrase, my heart beats dog. And I think that's really become the mantra for a lot of people or cat or ferret or rabbit or I have to always remember my non-canine friends. But that's true. I think that's pets, and you can attest to this, puppy fever. You know, everybody wants their puppy or their kitten now. We're home, we're hunkering down, and we need to nurture something, and that pet reminds us of the goodness of life.
Right. You know, those of you that are tuning in that may not be owning, that are not an owner of a pet, the human-animal bond is probably the strongest bond that exists on this planet, and it is incredible. It's unspoken words. There's science behind it. We know what it physiologically does to our bodies for lowering blood pressure, pain, anxiety. Look at all the working dogs that do good for the humans. It's incredible. So it's just, I agree with you, just with this pandemic, it has exploded with pet adoption.
Yes, and that's a good thing too. I mean, clearing the shelters. And you had asked me earlier, another popular post for me, my series on grief, because then that's what happens. We get so close. There's such a bond. Pets are members of the family. They're around us. Again, they're non-judgmental. And then one day they're just gone.
Right.
And knowing that's a part of the bargain that you make when you take on a pet, it doesn't make that loss any easier. And yeah, those are some of my most popular posts are on, I get asked all the time, how do I get over this? And yeah. I just decided to write about it. You don't. You carry that with you, and you honor another pet, and you're not leaving them, and you're not forgetting them. Whatever your religion, background, or belief, I always tell people that wherever your pet went before you, you're going there too. You don't even have to believe. You could be an atheist. Yeah. You're going where your pet went too. So it's that kind of thing. And I love that you are helping facilitate these conversations, because again, 15 or 20 years ago, people would just, they didn't understand when you lost a pet, what that heaviness did to your heart and your life.
Yes. No, and thank you for writing content about that, because it needs to be front and center. I think those are like two big things that are in this veterinary profession that maybe those that are not aware of. One is grief and loss, and the other is compassion fatigue that happens on the veterinary side. And I'm glad that we're finally talking about mental health and we're talking about grief, because, you know, it is part of the profession. It's what we do, but it needs to have conversations to know you're not alone. You know, grief counseling, having blogs, talking to other pet owners that have lost dogs and cats before, it helps, because sometimes this is all they have, or they're that link to their husband or wife that have left before them. So to get over that is very, very tough, but it's nice that we can chat about it.
Absolutely. And that's why I tell people, don't get over it. Carry that love with you. And
take it with you.
We have to stop, you know, love never ends.
No, it doesn't. Absolutely. Okay, so our one final thing we're gonna talk about is one of the pieces that you wrote about that I absolutely love, and it's, you know, you wrote many, but this one's a good one that has a veterinary twist to it. So 6 people products that are harmful to dogs, and some of them are pretty obvious, but believe it or not, you and I both know what's obvious to us may not be obvious to other pet parents, but alcohol is one of them. Do you wanna share a little bit about that?
Yeah, it drives me crazy when you see the funny pictures online of people. They're like, look, my dog took a sip of my wine, or he's licking my beer bottle. And that's lethal. That's alcohol. No, no, no. And it's got to be done in a way that's not condescending. I've learned that if you're writing to the pet parent, you can't lecture. You just need to educate. And that's a real fine line, because yes. The bottom line is, I'll tell people, your dog could die if your dog drinks alcohol. So as long as you want to take that chance, it's not funny.
It's not funny. I know. And it's like, you know, you're exploiting them and, you know, just trying to get more likes and views. It's terrible. But, and I agree, I have seen dogs that have died from alcohol toxicity. So it's terrible. Pepto-Bismol. This is a good one, by the way, to bring. So thank you for bringing this one out.
And this, I always tell people, I'm not your vet, but please don't give your dog Pepto-Bismol. That was just one of the things, I get that question a lot. My dog's sick, or he threw up, or my uncle was here and he fed him some greasy chicken or whatever. And can I give him Pepto-Bismol? I'm sure you can attest to that more than I.
Yes.
How many bad things have happened to dogs who have consumed that?
Yeah, the way it gets metabolized, you guys, is different, especially in cats too. So it can actually create more harmful things than good. So do not give your fur babies Pepto-Bismol. And again, always check with your veterinarian about what you can give, if there's any dietary indiscretion issues. And pocket change. I like this part too, because I don't think many know about this, about pennies.
Yeah, the copper poisoning, the toxicity. And I'm one of those people who likes to look at those reports that say my dog ate what, and I'm sure in your career you do the X's and you probably say the same thing. And it's funny, but it's not funny. Dogs can die from eating coins for a variety of reasons, but am I right in saying the copper in the pennies?
Absolutely. Yeah, copper toxicity. So after 1982 with the pennies, they can get copper ingestion. So it's a big problem, and they can get really sick, and we have to call poison control, get them on some fluids, maybe activated charcoal to get rid of some of the absorption process that happens with that. So yeah, no. And then finally, gum too. Yes. So xylitol.
We all have gum in our purse or our pockets or our glove compartment, or I'm dating myself, glove compartment, but please keep that away from your dog. And xylitol will just shut your dog's, the kidneys down. And I had a friend who, she put her purse on the counter, and Cocker Spaniels are notorious food seekers. And he stuck his head in her purse and pulled out her xylitol laced gum. She didn't know. She had no idea why her dog was so lethargic 3 hours later. And he was in the hospital a week. They didn't think he was going to make it from eating gum. He literally chewed it and swallowed it. And it was a sugar-free xylitol-laced gum. And I'm also finding out now, since that article was written, that there are peanut butters that are being
Yes.
Made with xylitols. First of all, why stop it? I mean, yeah. we all give our dog pills with peanut butter. Well, some of us do.
Right.
Drives me nuts.
Yeah, so just be careful. Just check the ingredients of the peanut butter. That's a big thing. And then, of course, with gum, this happens to me all the time when I hear that. And the first thing I always say is, like, call poison control, but also send a picture of the back of the gum so we can look at the active ingredients, too, just to see how much, the quantity, was the whole pack consumed, was it one, was it a chiclet versus, like, you know, two packs or the Costco-sized version. So, but, yep, I hospitalized dogs that went into acute kidney failure because of that, too. So, it's treatable. It's expensive to treat and takes time. And, you know, they get really sick on that stuff too. Talk about something really funny, not funny, but crazy that happened. I had a dog that ingested Gorilla Glue and I never knew this. Did you know that, I guess, if once they ingest some Gorilla Glue, like, it expands. And so I didn't know this either. So this German Shepherd consumed about like a tablespoon of the Gorilla Glue, and it just, he looked like he was pregnant. His stomach was enormous. So I took him to surgery and I had to peel all the Gorilla Glue off the lining of his stomach. And he survived. He's doing great, but it was unbelievable. I had no idea. So, you know, in case, thanks FYI.
Thanks for the article idea.
Yeah.
Because we all now have Gorilla Glue, especially with, you know, hunkering down home and doing projects in the house. We've all got Gorilla Glue laying around.
Absolutely.
So that's the big thing. Keep it out of paws' reach. Keep it out of tails' reach. You would not.
Yeah, think about it with a cat. One lick to a cat and forget it. They're going to look like an engorged tick.
So. And you know, Dr. Adam, is also the, some children's medicines have xylitol in them. And I know people will say, well, I only give my dog a little Robitussin. Which one? Children's.
Yeah.
That, you know, right. I mean.
No, thank you. Absolutely. Always check with your veterinarian first. It's so important. So, Carol, where can we find information about you? Where can we go?
Yeah, so I'm at Fidose of Reality. It looks like Dose of Reality, but I'm FidoseofReality.com. Or actually, if you just Google Carol Bryant Dogs, you'll find me somewhere online.
Yeah, you're everywhere. I love it.
I know, like, the internet is this big digital dog park, you know, so...
I'm telling you, that those of you, you got to follow her. You're on Instagram too, by the way.
I am. Everything is Fidose of Reality, and my dog owns my Instagram account. If I put any pictures of myself up, people are like, ew, and they want, like, why are you here? Put your dog, you know, licking an ice cream cone back up. Stop that. But yeah, Fidose of Reality everywhere.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining me today, Carol.
Absolutely. I adore you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.